Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here with our Survivor exit interview. I am still on the road in New York City, the site of our first live show in 2 years that we had on Wednesday night at the SVA Theater. We're going to be posting that on Thursday as our recap of this week's episode. Of course, I know that last night, Stephen Fishback and Aaron Moss were live after the episode. I have not listened to it yet, but I heard that it went great, according to my text with Stephen Fishback. So looking forward to listening to that one. We are here right now to do our exit interview with Hi. Hi will be on here in just a moment to talk about his game. Then we'll also hear from Jordan Kalish in a segment that I recorded earlier this week for this week in Survivor history. Over the weekend, I will have our feedback show as well. Dave Jorgensen, Washington Post TikTok guy, will join us. So get your feedback in for Dave Jorgensen. Rob has a website.com/voicemail. And for the patrons, saw so many of them here in New York City this week. We'll be back with Survivor Academy. What were the lessons learned from this week and Hi's whole experience in the game? We'll be doing that with my good friend, Frail Mary, Mary Kwiatkowski, over on Survivor Academy. So let me bring in my interview. Of course, you can watch it on YouTube and see my blurred out hotel room background on our YouTube channel at robhiswebsite.com/YouTube. Here's my interview with Hi. Hi, good morning, Rob Cesternino. Very nice to talk to you. Hi.
Good morning, Rob.
Hi, you had such a great reaction to The Blind Side last night. What was it about how you went out of the game that made you have that big reaction?
You know that old saying, when you have a near-death experience and you're like, life flashes before your eyes and everything comes rushing back? It was very accurate as you're getting blindsided as well. Every conversation that I had that afternoon was like, flowing back to me, and I could now instantly understand the subtext of people's like answers during tribal. Like when Lindsay said tonight's theme is about evening the playing field, I thought she was talking about Jonathan and his physicality. Mm-hmm. Turns out she was talking about me as a strategic threat. And at that point, I couldn't help but to feel proud of the game that I played, and the fact that I was being blindsided as a threat made me feel really good, because I was like, wow, these players came here to play. And as much of a as much as I have a bloated sense of like myself and my gameplay, not because I'm arrogant, but because I'm confident, I felt, wow, like these people outplayed me. This is incredible. I'm so grateful to have been a part of this season.
You look like at one point that you were one of the favorites to win the season. Do you have a point in the game where you feel like that things turned the wrong way for you to put you in this position?
I think it was many factors that led to my game unraveling. But I think the biggest theme of like where I went wrong is I actually played with too much empathy. And I don't think that's something that was really depicted well in the edit, right? I think I really always went with my gut and my empathy over sometimes just pure logic. So for example, like, should I have gone with Jenny at the first vote over Lydia? Maybe, but because I had such a personal like affinity for Lydia and our relationship, I chose her over what others perceived as like a very illogical vote by voting out Jenny. Same thing with getting to the merge and like immediately working with people that I empathize with and that I intersected with. Omer, Drea, those were my final three Canadian babies, right? Like I just identified with both of them for a litany of reasons. And as a result, I couldn't see through my blinders and my feelings for them as strategic threats. And as a result, I kept making moves that didn't benefit myself, but benefited other people, because I want it to be, malleable. And yeah.
You mentioned Omer and Drea as your final three. first, is that the final three that you were working towards? And were the three of you having conversations? Because I don't think we've ever even seen Omer talk to Drea on the show.
Yes. Omer, Drea, and myself got to merge and immediately were the ones spearheading the majority eight. And I know in the edit, it made it seem as though Lindsay was the catalyst for that. But in reality, it was the three of us who got together and say, these are the people that we can bring into the majority alliance. And I was actively working towards a final three with the two of them. I didn't perceive them to be particularly like crazy strategic threats, even though I realized at a certain point that Omer and I were playing very similar strategic games. He was a lot more covert about it, whereas I was a lot more visible and like aggressive. And I think that really benefited him having someone like me in the game to like not necessarily like to hide behind, like,
yeah,
you know, in short. And Mike was always part of the plan too, because Mike was my Vati, you know, dude from early days. But the issue with Mike is we were never aligned strategically. Like, he would always go off and like create different alliances and then bring me in with like against my like knowledge. And really, that was very annoying to me when he was like, we're in an all men's alliance now. And I was just like, what is it about my personality that told you I would be okay with this?
Yeah.
You lived with me for 19 days. Like, you should have run this by me first. But that was not how Mike played.
Can you talk a little bit about, and you were working with Omer to watch him and the way that he worked to manipulate Mike to turn him against you in the episode we saw last night. What was that like for you to see that play out?
Watching Omer turn Mike against me was amazing. Wow. I, you know, have been trying to put the pieces together for the past 10 months, as I'm sure all of my castmates have as well.
Yes.
And you only hear like pieces and bits, right? But to see it shown very clearly why I went home and Omer is the catalyst for that, I was very impressed, right? Because I think at that point, even though I was like visibly a threat, I think people were like a little afraid to bring my name up because I really did have my hand in like a lot of different relationships, similar to Omer, but he's more covert about it. So I think people were like nervous to say, like, to target me first because they were afraid it would get back to me. But Omer driving that lie into Mike's head was very impressive because he was my closest I was his closest ally, right? As the edit would show you. And for Mike to instantaneously bite was incredible because the episode title was Tell a Good Lie, Not a Bad Lie. But the fact of it is, it was a really bad lie. Mike, you've lived with me for 19 days. I don't speak like that.
Yeah.
When would I ever say, I have Mike's vote, I control it, I'm the puppet master? First of all, I don't speak like
yeah.
that. So he should have read through that. But I think Omer did a really good job at capitalizing on his emotions and making him feel a certain type of way. And really, that did me in.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about, on last week's episode, we saw the split tribal council, and we saw you went in the first group, and then the second group had, emotional second tribal council, that you weren't there for that. When the groups came back, was there a lot of discussion about how the second tribal council played out and a lot of questions about how the first tribal council went?
Yeah. When the second group came back, it was raining very hard. It was really dark. It was cold. And I think we were all very like traumatized by the weather. And when we did try to ask the second group, like what happened, like how did Tori go out? Even though she was the target and we were happy, we could tell that it was like a very like sullen mood. And they're like, we'll talk about it in the morning. And when we finally did talk about the second tribal in the morning, I was shocked. I was pissed. Because Drea is my closest ally, and hearing about her experience made me really upset because I couldn't spend that evening talking to her and kind of helping her process. Because what I should have noticed was like Drea did not sleep all night. She sat there in the shelter the entire time. And every time I would wake up, not like any of us were sleeping, but every time I looked at her, she was sitting there and I could sense something was wrong. And for her to spend the entire night miserable on top of what had happened to her made me really sad as her ally. And then on top of that, I was also very confused by everyone's reaction to Rocks going, because the edit didn't show it, but we actually had conversations before we went to the split challenge that Rocks would be the target. And I had this conversation with most of the people in my alliance, including Drea, yeah. but I also understand, you know, that moment was much larger than the game. And sure. her experiences as a Black woman, like, takes precedent over any sort of strategy. But it was still a little confusing for me. And it was really hard for me to navigate conversations the next day because I did not understand the context of what happened. And I really didn't until I watched it back on TV.
Hi, can you talk a little bit about how big of a factor the amulet played in your relationship with Drea and Lindsay? Because as you said in the first episode, like, oh no, this is more of a curse that, you know, you wanted to try to be incentivized to vote each other out. But it seemed like it brought the three of you together up until this point.
The amulet was a really convenient tool to tie me to Drea and Lindsay. But I will say, I really didn't have a strong personal or strategic relationship with Lindsay, mm-hmm. but I had one with Drea pretty much instantaneously. And I think regardless of having the amulet or not, we would have naturally found our way to each other because we're very similar in play style. She's pretty fearless. I'm very fearless. She's very strategic and savvy. I'm very strategic and savvy. And as a result, we were like a very good natural pair. Whereas Lindsay would be a little more coy during strategic conversations. And now I realize it's because she's holding her cards close to her, which is not necessarily a bad thing.
Hi, can you tell us about your relationship with Romeo? Because it's been such a roller coaster. It started that you had a really great conversation in the Merge episode, and then to the point where you were really going after each other. But it seemed like that you were back on the same page. We didn't really get to see a lot from Romeo last night. Was Romeo? Were you and him back on good terms at the time that you went out of the game?
Yes.
So he voted with you.
Romeo did vote with me, but I think it was purely he was told how to vote by other people. So Romeo and I did have a very special moment that was immediately fractured when information that I had relayed to him, because at that point I did want to work with Romeo. I said, hey, Romeo, I know you're at the bottom. This is before the hourglass. I said, Chanel is the target. She's not trustworthy. Don't feed her information. Well, guess what Romeo does? He goes and he tells Tori, and Tori tells Chanel, and Chanel comes back and corroborates with me and asks, hey, I heard you're targeting me. And I said, absolutely not, Chanel. Why would I do that? And at that point, I knew that I couldn't trust Romeo. So for all the fans out there, Romeo wasn't paranoid because he was at the bottom. He was at the bottom because he was paranoid.
Okay.
He was just not someone that any of us could work with because he was too squirrely, a little too skittish, a little too erratic. And as a result, he found himself at the bottom. Yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit about the Merge vote where Lydia ended up going out of the game? Because I think a lot of people were surprised that you went along with the vote to take out Lydia. Was that only because there was no other move you could have made, or could you have switched it if you wanted to?
I think the viewers at home watch with perfect information and they're able to like be really critical. At that point,
it makes it so easy.
It makes it so easy. You guys have all the information, right? I think at that point in the afternoon, Omer's strategy is really great in many fronts, including using time sensitivity to his advantage. He told me about the Lydia plan 30 minutes before we left for tribal. There was no opportunity for me to scramble. And even if I did have time to scramble, you have to understand the bottom five, no one wanted to talk to them or be seen linked to them, because look at what happened to poor Lydia. She was linked with them at the water well. Omer came up with the lie that she was trying to turn on the eight, and that did her in. Even if I wanted to work with the bottom five, at that point, I didn't know where their allegiances were. I was myself one of five people eligible to be voted out.
Yep.
It could have quickly turned on me, because the thing y'all didn't see was Tori was out there all afternoon saying, should we vote out High? Like, Chanel had approached me and said, Romeo told me, like, you're coming after me. There were a lot of factors that influenced me saying, okay, I'm just going to board the train and vote out my closest ally, because one, I didn't have enough time to save her. And two, I didn't know who I could go to save her.
Hi, you made such an impact on people when you rubbed the fake blood on yourself. It was such a great moment in the season. Did anybody ever give you any questions about where the blood came from?
The only person who gave me a hard time about the blood, and this was a very big contributing factor to why I targeted them very early on, was Miss Jenny.
Oh,
very astute, very perceptive, asked me twice, hey, Hi, where did that fake blood come from? I forgot my answer both times, obviously.
And she said fake blood.
No. Yes. Because I told them it was fake blood. My original lie was I crawled through a blood pit yes. to get the ore. And like, everyone's like, oh yeah, that makes sense. But Jenny was like, that's not a thing that they do on Survivor. So yeah, no, I pretty much got away with it because they dropped it at that point.
Yeah. Hi, I know that I'm running out of time. I have so many more questions for you about the tribal council standoff and you know, and going to Rocks, but we'll have to wait for another day. Just real quick, I just want to say it was so fun to get to watch you play in the season. It was very nice to get your backstory in the episode. Is there anything else that you want to tell the listeners?
I want to tell the listeners, enjoy the season. I know it's really easy to be emotionally invested in all of us. And as a result, there's a lot of anger and whatever. Enjoy the season, guys. I promise you, we're all friends. We all had a lovely time and we want you to as well. So this is a gift from the season 42 cast to the fandom.
Yes. Okay. Hi. Thank you so much. All the best outside of the game, and hope we can catch up at some point down the road. Okay.
Thank you, Rob.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Great job by Hi on the exit interview. I love getting to hear Hi talk about the game. Really, I think the headline for me is that there was a Drea Hi Omer final three, something that we did not even see in the show. As I said with Hi, we have not seen one conversation between Drea and Omer the entire season. So very interesting that was not part of the episode. So great job by Hi on the exit interview. Looking forward to trying to process that in all of my thinking about the season moving forward. Speaking of moving forward, we are going to be back with Jordan Kalish for some This Week in Survivor History after a short break, right after this.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
All right, let's welcome in Jordan Kalish to talk about everything that's going on this week in Survivor history. Jordan, how are you?
I am tired. I don't know how I'm awake right now.
Yes.
But
we had to record this before the live show, before all of the festivities. Knock on wood, everything worked out okay.
But going for the Academy Award.
Yeah, we do not want to dare have a week without This Week in Survivor History. So here we are to talk about what's going on in the first week of May of Survivor History.
Yeah. Sun's out, the birds are flying, the flowers are out.
That's what you were going to say. Yeah.
Yeah. So we had a great time at Know It Alls. I assume we did. First live show in a long time. It was great seeing everybody. It will be great seeing everybody.
We hope.
What tense am I supposed to be using as I'm speaking to you right now?
I think we could just get into the This Week in Survivor History.
Let's do it. Yeah. Let's do it. I like that. You know, last week we talked about capers. I like this is going to be my caper.
Mm hmm. Yeah. All right, Jordan, first week of May, what are we looking back to?
Okay, so I have a couple survivors for you who were voted out this week in Survivor History. I'm going to list out these players for you. I'm going to give you I'm not going to give you their placements. You are going to have to list these survivors based on their placement on the season that I give you, okay?
Okay.
So one of these players...
Should I get out a pad?
It might be a good idea. I'm going to give you six players. And I can tell you this, one of these players came in 10th, one came in 9th, 8th, 7th, 6th, and 5th. This week in Survivor History when they were voted
out. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, and 5. Okay.
You have to match each player with the placement. If it's someone who's played Survivor more than once, and there are a few of them, I will give you the season that we're looking for. Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm going to give them to you in alphabetical order. So I won't hint the order or anything. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay.
Let me just put everybody in. I just want to make sure I'm going to list everybody. Yes, they are in alphabetical order. Okay. Here we go. We got Andrea Belke in Survivor Karamoan.
Okay. Andrea, season 26.
Yes, S26. We have Candace from Heroes versus Villains.
Okay. Candace, season 20. Okay.
Debbie Beebe.
Okay.
Michael Yerger.
Hold on. Debbie, season 18.
Season 18.
Yerger. Yeah.
Michael Yerger, Ghost Island.
Okay.
We have Shane Powers from Exile Island.
Okay.
And we have Zeke from Game Changers.
All right. So, all right. Let's do this. Let me fill in the ones I know, and then we'll fill in the blanks. Okay. So Shane Powers, we just talked about him last week on the podcast, top of mind. Okay. Shane Powers, I believe, came in fifth place in Exile Island. So Shane,
let me tell you one more rule.
Oh, what is there?
I forgot to tell you the rule. At the end, you're going to lock these in. Once they're locked in, I am either going to tell you if you are correct.
If I have correct, green survivors or yellow survivors.
Yeah. So it's sort of like a Wordle-esque thing. I'm going to tell, I'm not going to tell you which ones you have wrong. I'm going to tell you either if you're all correct, if you're correct, we can move on. If you are incorrect, I'm not going to tell you which ones you have incorrect. I'm going to tell you how many survivors you have in the correct place.
All right. And I'm going to tell you something. Okay. Yes. I'm not going to need that.
Yeah. I didn't think so.
And if I get them all right, And I don't need you to check them. You're going to tell us an embarrassing secret.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
I don't really have any embarrassing secrets. So I'll try to make
one up. You have to make up an embarrassing secret.
Here's my embarrassing secret.
Yes.
I am the one who was going through Wikipedia this week putting this game together.
Okay. All right.
I have written a verbal rebus every week for the last 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah. Okay. All right. Shane Powers, I believe, came in fifth place. Okay. Okay. This group, I believe Debbie came in sixth place in Survivor Token Chains. I'm pretty confident Andrea got voted out seventh in Survivor Caramon. Okay. Those were the easy ones. Okay. 5, 6, 7. Now we start to get into sort of the very messy underbelly of mid-season Survivor. Okay. Who was 8? Who was 9? Who was 10? If I had to guess, I believe, I think that maybe Zeke was 9th on both of his seasons. So I'm going to say Candace is 8. I'm going to say Zeke is 9, Yerger is 10.
And is a 10.
So that's my logic there.
All right. So Rob has ranked each of the survivors based on
Shane,
what number.
Shane, 5th place, Debbie, 6th place, Andrea, 7th place, Candace, 8th place, Zeke, 9th place, Yerger, 10th place.
Okay. And you're locking it in.
Lock it in.
Okay. I can tell you, Rob, that you have 4 correct.
4 correct. Oh, my God. Okay.
I will not have to reveal an embarrassing story.
Okay. All right. So let me just think this through.
You have one chance to change it. You can change any name that you would like.
Okay. So the top three, I'm very confident in. Okay. I think I have somebody, two people in the wrong seats out of 8, 9, 10. Okay. So... is it Candace? I'm trying to think of when Candace got voted out. There are the what? How many? That's Russell, Sandra, Jerry, Parvati, Danielle. Those are the villains that are left. Plus, then there's Candace, Colby, and Rupert. I feel like that she is correct. That she is correct at 8. So I don't think there's anybody I'm forgetting. That the heroes versus villains, they merge at 10, and then first goes JT, then goes Amanda, and then I believe that it's Candace who goes out at 10, or sorry, at 8. So I'm gonna switch Zeke and Yerger, and I think this is a little bit of a trick question here because. I believe does Yerger go out in the double tribal council and that I think he goes out when they're in an episode with the final 10. He definitely makes it to the 5 and 5 tribal council, but does he get voted out in the second tribal council? So I'm going to switch You know, Jurger still, you know, is a 10 in my book. But let's make him 9 and make Zeke 10.
Okay, so Rob has always said that Jurger is a 9. So we're putting Jurger at 9. We're putting Zeke at 10. And you're locking it in?
You'll lock that in.
Okay, now you are absolutely 100% correct. That is true. Jurger and Jenna Bowman did go out in the 5-5 tribal council. Jenna was the first one. Jurger was the second one. So he is technically 9th place. And Zeke came in 10th in Survivor Game Changers. So you get half credit. It would have been a 6-point game. 6 points if you had gotten it on the first one. You get 3 points for getting it on the second guess. You get half credit for the first game. Are we calling this a win? I guess we could call it a win.
You had it baked in that I got to check. Why wouldn't it be a win?
Yeah, it's a win. You won. You got to get the verbal rebus. If you get the verbal rebus, which you always do, you will win this week. It'll be a bones week. Okay, here we go. This is going to start with this, and again, like always, this is someone who was voted out this week in Survivor history.
Mm-hmm.
We have One World's unlikely fourth placer,
okay,
minus Survivor's first winner turned first boot. So it's the first person to get to be a winner and then become a first boot. Plus what Michaela pretended to sip while JT was being blindsided on Game Changers. Plus the last name of the player who took the brunt of T-Bird's vote for Lex.
Minus the player that took the brunt. Okay.
T-Bird's vote for Lex. Minus the color of the medal that Crystal Cox had won as of the filming of Survivor Gabon.
Okay.
So let's go step by step.
And there's nothing else.
Nope. One World's unlikely fourth placer. Who is that?
Okay, so I'm guessing Christina Cha. But I am assuming that you were just looking for Christina.
Yeah.
Okay. Minus Tina. So Chris. Okay.
Okay. What Michaela pretended to sip while JT was being blindsided on Game Changers.
I believe it was tea. Not thinking it's coffee. And then what was this next part?
Plus the last name of the player who took the brunt of T-Bird's vote for Lex.
Oh, okay. All right. Goldsmith minus Gold. So this is my friend, Chris T. Smith.
Chris T. Smith is correct. We have, I think the second time this season we've taken one from. We did Dina Bennett back in the day. Now we have Chris T. Smith showing up on the verbal rebus. It's hard to give you Amazon trivia questions, so it's fun to get it in.
Well, thank you. This you're commemorating rebus. That is going to be 20 years since I met all of these people here in 2022. So
20 years, friendships that will last forever. You've created small business. That
my best friends that I talk to, weekly. You know, the Amazon group chat is just like, you know, these people, like we talk all
Roger
the time.
Roger and Joanne.
Sure. Sure.
Jean.
Yes.
Janet.
Yes.
All the J's.
Everybody. All right. Jordan, where can people check out everything else you're doing?
Follow me at Jordan Kalish on Twitter. And you can check me out next week on Rob Has a Podcast. Twitch, baby.
Yeah. All right. Don't go anywhere. Make sure you subscribe. Don't miss Jordan Kalish. RobHasAWebsite.com/subscribe. All right. Jordan, thank you so much.
Thank you, too. Talk to you next week.
Bye.
Everybody, there you have it. The great Jordan Kalish for this week in Survivor history. I'm going to head back to Long Island, visit with my mom and my brother and sister, and then I'll be back home in the studio over the weekend for Dave Jorgensen, and then also with Frail Mary over on the Survivor Academy, not to mention the rest of the podcasts over on RHAP. Make sure you subscribe to everything, including our Survivor podcast feed, when you go to robhaswebsite.com/subscribe. Thank you so much for listening. To everybody that I got to meet this week, it was so nice to see your faces once again. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.